from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trending. Well, number one on what's trending, the Royals. A great weekend in Cincinnati. They get the sweep. That's why they are just three games back in the American League Central. They're only a game back of the second wild card spot occupied by the Twins, and they've built up a 3.5-game lead on the Boston Red Sox for that final wild card spot. They're back at it tonight out at the K, and tonight is fan night at the K. So everybody from 96.5 The Fan, we're going to be out there. We'll talk about more here in 15 minutes, but we've got some members of the station, including Cody, running the hot dog derby. We got Dusty throwing out the first pitch. We're going to be hanging outside Gate D, Drive Will, and we'll be there in the 5 o'clock hour as well. So the Royals, Seth Lugo gets the nod tonight. See if he can look like an all-star again. I think the Angels certainly set up to be in position. Maybe that we could see that. 7:10 first pitch. Vern's on deck show starts at 6 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan.
I mean, if it goes really bad or really well tonight, I'm sure we'll be talking Seth Lugo tomorrow, because he's the biggest swing guy in the rotation right now from a consistency factor, because we're all a little worried maybe hit a wall.
Yeah, if you were just wanting to peek ahead to the future a little bit, if the playoffs were to begin today, the Royals would be heading to Houston in the wild card round.
Oh, don't love that. Houston's playing some really good baseball. Next up on What's Trending, Andy Reid, which we'll talk about more in a moment, says he expects Juwan Taylor, Chris Jones, and Joe Tooney all to be ready for week one against the Baltimore Ravens. The exact way he said it is, the only person who would be in question for that, Hollywood Brown, who I don't expect to play week one. You get 10 days off after that. I have a hard time imagining you're going to press that button knowing you got 10 more days to figure it out on Hollywood Brown after that. So he at least said, though, Taylor, Jones, and Tooney all expected to play. Chris Jones, can I just say, played it masterfully. Kudos, sir. Said in March he didn't want to do training camp. Made it like a week and a half in the heat. Grabbed a couple of snow cones, said his shoulder hurt, and then just called it a day.
Andy, so kudos. He's starting to feel better now. Oh, I bet. St. Joe's over with. Hey, not hating. You know, good on you.
He jumped out of that bed like Grandpa Joe in Willy Wonka. He was walking around like he needed someone to feed him soup. Hopped out of bed this morning feeling great, I bet.
Yeah, look, Chris Jones, one of the few players on the team where you were definitely not worried about him missing practices and being effective, because he missed all of camp last year and ended up having a really impactful season and missed week one last year. So nobody's worried about that. Next up on What's Trending, we now know who will be the least week one starter for the Las Vegas Raiders. That's Gardner Minshew, as Antonio Pierce announced that after preseason game. It was pretty evident it was going to be him, as Aiden O'Connell did not look good at all. Gardner Minshew, more experienced quarterback. Week one, the Raiders take on the Chargers, who may or may not have Justin Herbert. The Raiders, slight underdogs in that game. I've told you, I called this 2.5 weeks ago. I'll stick with it.
You called it a while ago.
I am saying the Raiders are upsetting the Chargers in week one, whether Herbert plays or not.
Next up on What's Trending, the Pittsburgh Pirates say that they're not planning on shutting down rookie Paul Skeens and do not have an innings limit set on him for 2024. That according to Ken Rosenthal and some others over at The Athletic. That's obviously going to be of note because they're out of the race and Skeens is their future for a while based on the way he's been pitching overall. It also has massive implications on the betting market because Paul Skeens had been and still is, I think, the betting favorite to win National League Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, he's like minus 150, minus 170, but everybody thought he was just going to run away with it and he probably will still win. But Jackson Merrill of the Padres has had an unbelievable last 3 weeks in particular, and the Padres as a team have been playing really well post All-Star break.
They have the best record in baseball since the All-Star break.
Jackson Merrill's narrowed the gap just a little bit. Lastly on What's Trending, real quick, over the weekend, Casey Curran won the Women's Cup for their first title over the weekend. You might have seen some of the photos that after the Chiefs preseason game, a lot of the members of the Chiefs went over.
That's cool.
To the Curran, Mahomes, I see Pacheco
Creed
was
Humphrey.
There. I saw Clyde, Justin Watson, a few other Chiefs players all at the Curran game. That's What's Trending here on Cody and Gold on 96.5. The Fan. We'll take from the Chiefs' first round pick. There is a suggestion saying that for you to have your song play today, that you have to win the hot dog race tonight.
Well,
I kind of like that.
That doesn't make any sense. It won't get played today if I have to win the hot dog race tonight.
I think there should be a...
I'm not confident. I'll just be honest. I'm not overly confident in my winning. I've lost 2 years in a row.
Okay.
I'm trying. I'm fighting, and I'm going to give it a great effort tonight. And it's a no-excuse night. Weather's good. My foot doesn't feel bad. There's not someone way taller. Drew doesn't have the broken relish neck. There is no excuses to be had. We're all about the same height. We're all racing in the costumes.
So then you should win.
It should be a fair race across the board.
No excuses. So we'll talk more about
it. But I could just lose straight up.
I think the odds would have to change. You need to change the odds a little bit. Change that bet up slightly more in your favor if you do win. I guess whenever we talk about it, we'll
what happens to the song if I don't?
Doesn't get played.
Ever?
That's the risk you have to take.
Ever?
We talk about it, I've got a proposal that I think you should use,
okay.
Cody.
We'll talk about it in a minute.
We'll get to that here in about 7 minutes or so. But let's talk more about the Royals because we said it during What's Trending. Great weekend, dominating weekend. Let's just call it like it is. Dominating weekend against the Reds. Now only three back in the division. You are building a little bit of a cushion against the Red Sox with under 40 games to go. And also, out of that game and the weekend series as a whole, Lucas Hersig continues to not only show why you traded for him, they were hoping he would be effective, but he's been as good
far
as any bullpen arm in baseball, I would say, the last 2 weeks. Small sample size, 8-9 outings, but he's been lights out, highest leverage situations. Got to feel great after that particular weekend because you saw, all right, what add him to the list of players that you can count on, yes, but also if this team makes the playoffs, he's going to be a huge reason why. I think it's pretty evident.
This was, I don't know how you want to put it, but if you had any, and you shouldn't have had any left, the Royals put themselves right back in the middle of the American League map this weekend. I know it's the Reds. They're not some over-dominant team. They were playing pretty good baseball going into the series, though. They're hitting a lot of home runs, playing some really good offense. The Royals beat their ass. It was 28-3 over a three-game series. The starting pitching was better. The bullpen dominated. The offense, Dyron Blanco's hitting three home runs in two games over the weekend. Bobby Wood Jr. hit one out. Vinny massacred one after they made the mistake of intentionally walking Bobby. Matter of fact, he got an RBI both times they intentionally walked Bobby in front of him. So Vinny's making them all pay. This was a confidence-building weekend like we haven't had in a little while. Not to say, because they have the second-best record in baseball since the All-Star break. I'm not telling you they're not playing good ball. They are. They're 17-10, I think, since the All-Star break. So that's not the thing. It was the way they dismantled this team, especially because before this series started, what did we say? Because of the schedule starting this weekend, starting on Friday, they face 19 straight playoff teams. They got the Guardians for 7. They got the Twins. They got the Yankees. They've got the Phillies. If you're looking at any team who has a better record than them, they are all on the Royals schedule for 19 straight damn games starting on Friday. So they needed to win at least 4 out of 6 here to give themselves a cushion. So yesterday, they again beat them. Guardians lose. Twins lose. Red Sox lose. I was like, dream scenario.
It was the perfect weekend. It was the perfect weekend. Also had some fun mixed in. You mentioned Blanco in the yellow bat.
The yellow crayon bat. Yeah, did you hear Hudler say, He's like, look, he's doing it with a pencil. And Lefebvre's like, that's a crayon.
That's so good. Very on brand. Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect from Hud. No, I mean, like, it was the exact weekend you needed. And you're right. And the same thing could be said about the Angels. The Angels are worse than the Reds, too. The Reds
way
are
way worse.
Like, we don't need to talk about the Reds like they're the White Sox or something.
No, still
500 baseball team has a superstar on their team in Ally De La Cruz. You know, so they had some talent, to say the least, and the Royals were able to manhandle them throughout the weekend. There were some dicey spots. Urseg gets them out of that on Sunday. And yeah, it sets up where can they, after this Angels series, can they get within two of the Guardians by the time they start their series against the Phillies? Can they all of a sudden be up 4.5 or 5 on the Red Sox? Like, those are the dream scenario before you get into a really tough stretch. Because, look, if you position yourself in that way, then you obviously could handle being 500, with the exception of the games against the Guardians. You need to probably be better
than
500.
If you want to win the division, for sure. Division.
But if you're just talking about the
cushion. Which is definitely in play. There are only 3 games in
the cushion you're building, then you could put yourself in a spot where you don't have to have this unbelievable stretch of 20 games against those playoff teams. You just can be right around 500, a little bit better, I would argue, and still feel like you're setting yourself up really well for September. And I'll remind you, in September, that's when they still have 3 or 4 against the Guardians on top of that. So
yeah, that's the series you and I will be sitting crown seats.
We are looking forward to that. Definitely. Definitely.
Brent, you're going to have to give a review on the air, you know, tell people what you thought.
I mean, is there any other, of course it's going to, I mean, there is no, it's one of those where we already know what the review is going to be. It's going to be very positive. I'm looking forward to that.
Here's a reminder of the schedule in case you haven't like looked at it. You just remember people saying it was hard. Starting this Friday, they got 3 against the number one record in baseball, the Phillies. Then they followed up with 4 games, including a doubleheader against the Guardians. Then one of the hottest teams in baseball, the Astros, on the road for 4. Then 3 more at home against the Guardians, 3 more at home against the Twins, and then 3 more on the road against the Yankees. That's not just a difficult schedule. Those are the only teams in baseball with a better record than you. The only thing that would make this worse if you also accidentally had the Dodgers in addition to it. That is the best teams in baseball, all lined up all together. By the time we get to the end of that stretch, and I know we'll talk more about it starting on Thursday or Friday, by the time we get to the end of the stretch, we'll know everything we need to know about whether this team, like what percentage chance we'd give them to go to the damn World Series. Because they're going to get every test thrown their way. And by the way, 3 games against the Pirates after that. Who knows if you catch Skeens in there? So, like, you might have, like, the Pirates aren't good, but you might have an awfully difficult game to win in that series.
But here's the thing. We went through this earlier. There's nobody that's pacing to be a 100-win team in baseball or anything. So you say, hey, they're playing all these teams that are some of the best in baseball. Yeah, but the Royals are part of
the
that
Royals,
group, too.
Yeah,
right?
They are.
And when the Royals are flawed, but all these other teams are flawed as well. Jeff Passan put out the numbers that for the first time since 2014, it looks like we're not going to have a 100-win, you know, 100-win team in all baseball. The best records are pacing for 95 wins, and the Royals are right in that group, right? Like if they finish with 92 wins and either win the division or they're the number 2 wild card team because of 92 wins, and they're only 2 or 2.5 back, 3 back of the best record in all of baseball, then absolutely they would have a chance to do some damage.
They're an equally big challenge to those teams as those teams are to them.
Like I think we had Vern on last week. He'll join us later this week. And I agree with him that, hey, for the Royals to maintain where they're at, yeah, Seth Lugo needs to pitch like an all-star and Urseg needs to keep pitching like this. Those are all true things, but this team now with under 40 games to go has continued to position themselves where they're right there with everybody else. I'm sorry. Like anybody that wants to come on and text in or whatever that says
hating.
That this team isn't good enough to A, make the playoffs or to do anything.
Like,
look at every other team in baseball. This is a weird year. There is not dominant teams of baseball in this particular season. I'm not telling you the Royals are dominant. Nobody's dominant.
No, I 100% agree with you. There was times this year where I thought differently. And I think that, like, you've got to always take the Astros seriously because they've played in 7 straight, it turns out, ALCS series, which is ludicrous. But even the only remaining thing would be like, can the Royals beat good teams consistently is the only remaining one. Because for all the people who used to bitch about the home-road splits, that's tightening up. The Royals, and probably didn't realize this, after that series in Cincinnati, have a winning record on the road gold. They have a winning record on both. They're still a tremendous home team, like most teams are. They have a winning record on the road with a plus 40 run differential on the road. So I don't want to hear anymore they can't win road games or it's not going to go against there. I understand we can look up their individual records against Baltimore and Boston. I'm just going to tell you that I'm never going to factor in seven games over. They played 124. I'm not going to let seven games determine how good of a team I think they are.
Well, it's just it'll get sorted out over the next 20.
They're also 3-0 against the Astros, so that's going to boost their against winning teams mentality.
And I don't remember when they played the Astros. I think that was when the Astros were bad.
Doesn't matter.
But I'm just saying. You would have to admit, playing the Astros in 2 weeks or a week and a half is different than playing the Astros in April when they were in last place in their division. That's all I'm saying.
But this is why I don't. This is why when somebody, you know, like to get into the Twins thing, you'd be like, well, they might have just been playing their worst baseball when they faced the Twins. Not that the Twins are a better team. They just weren't also playing good baseball when they faced them. That's why the season series against winning teams, the Astros count. The Astros count in your favor. Just as long as the Twins games count against you, it's fine. But it's equal
footing.
That's
what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, if we're going to talk about winning teams were playing well, the issue when they were playing the Twins, when the Royals almost got swept by the Twins last week, you just told me the Royals have the second best record post All-Star break. So the Royals weren't playing their worst baseball, and they still only won one game out of the series. I don't want to bring up that conversation from last week again, but that's why I just disagree on that. But as far as the next 20, it'll sort itself out anyway. Over these next 20 games, any issues about quality competition, we're going to find out plenty about that. And my guess is the Royals are not going to fall apart during this stretch because, as I said again, these other teams are flawed. Nobody is dominant. We're talking about a 1 or 2 win difference between most of these teams. Like, we're like, oh my gosh, it's the Phillies. It's not like the Phillies have 15 more wins than the Royals. That doesn't exist.
No. And this is the thing about it is like they've been chasing essentially all year and have never let it get out of control. The Royals were in first place at one point this year. You might not remember it. It was April 13th. That was the last time the Royals were in first place in the American League Central. So it would have been easy to say, fall out of this thing. And there were times we saw them 8-9 games back of the Guardians gold. And what do they sit? 3 games back, still firmly in it. The division is definitely in play. There are only 38 games remaining, and they're only 3 games back.
It adds a little something to Fan Day at the K. 96.5 The Fan Night, I guess I should say, at the K. We're Miata Kauffman Stadium. We got a lot of things planned. The Drive's going to be broadcasting live outside Gate D starting at 2 o'clock when we hand things off to CDOT and Rob. And then I know some of us from the station will be on in the 5 o'clock hour with them. Plus, during the game, or right before, first pitch, Dusty's throwing out the first pitch tonight.
Going to his dad, right?
Well, that's going to be really cool. How do you think he does in the first pitch?
Okay, so Dusty
he's been practicing. I can promise you he's been practicing.
Guaranteed.
As he should.
I will tell him the same thing I told Carrington. I do not get you credit unless you throw a little heat. You got to put a little juice behind that pitch.
If heat, just throw from the rubber, though.
You can't lollipop it in there and be like, wow, you really crushed it. You got to not. I'm not saying he's got to throw a fastball at 60 miles an hour, but don't. It shouldn't have some big arc getting in there. Throw it like you're trying to throw it to the mitt.
I don't think the arc's
your dad
the
can
issue.
Catch it.
I don't think the arc's the issue. Just as long as he's throwing from the mound and not in front of the mound. Then we're good.
In front of the mound.
Maybe I should have thrown in front of the mound after.
I want to toe the rubber. I think maybe there are rules against it. Maybe they don't want you throwing from the mound. So I'll give him a pass if that's the case. I've never thrown out a first pitch, so I don't know.
At least try to go to the rubber. You know, at least try to go back there. And if they're like, hey,
he's practiced enough where his will be solid.
I actually think his will be okay.
Yeah, I think he'll be solid. He's been practicing is my guess. Hot dog derby, we alluded to it. There has to be some sort of punishment if you lose for a third year in a row.
Punishment? Why?
Yeah, because like Nick won, then he retired from hot dog derbies. I won last year. I've retired from hot dog derbies. You've said you're going to do it until you win.
I might have to give up on that.
Sitting here for a long time waiting.
If I don't win it this year, I don't know when I'm going to win it.
Are you willing to wager something? Put a song or two as far as no songs allowed for a very long time or this one in particular.
What do I get if I win?
Well, you got to play the song.
No.
With no veto.
Cody should be asking for more than that.
All right, what should I get, Drew?
If you lose, but if you win, if we're talking multiple songs never get played, then you should have like a streak of 3 songs that have no chance of getting blocked. Like,
no veto.
They will play.
And that hurts that gentleman's donation. You've taken a lot of his teeth out of the donation, if that's the case.
But if you're going to have songs banned from playing, I feel like you should at least get something in return other than you get to play
your song.
You're
negotiating on your behalf. What is going on here? What are we doing, Drew?
I'm not willing to put up this song never gets played if I don't get something in return. And like just it getting played, I could just play it. We said in the 1 o'clock hour, I could just play it and we could just move on with our lives. I think, all right, how about this? If I lose, the song is banned till next. I want to play it, so can I play it till next week? But it'll be like next Monday. I'll wait a whole nother week. If I win, you have to do a song.
No, I'm not doing that.
What? Come on.
No.
You have to
I've
do
already
a song.
Won the hot dog derby before. I have no tonight there's nothing for me to try to win. No.
I'm just trying to take away my joy.
No, I think Gold brings up a good point though. If Gold was racing, then I think that makes sense.
Plays on this air if I lose, but if I win, you have to do it.
Here's the, I'm not going to not that kind of bet would involve me racing against you in this derby, and I already beat you last year. Why would I agree to that kind of quote unquote punishment without actually having a chance for me to win?
Because you want me to have something on the line, and I'm offering you terms.
Yeah, I'm good. Drew's the one negotiating. You're making it. Drew's the one helping you out on
someone
this negotiation.
Someone said I need to relax. Whose side are you on? I am.
Text line says it's a fair bet.
I'm the perfect middleman. I understand why
here's
a lot
why
of people
not,
don't like the
way,
songs, but I also think that for if you want to,
you're like the player we've never seen do it. You
if
know?
You just want to ban the song, I feel like Cody should get more than just being able to play
the
song.
But the bet that he's trying to make me make is not a fair bet because the bet Cody's saying is that song just never plays. Cody doesn't care. He'll sing another song in 3 weeks. For me, I don't. I have never. I have
this
never.
Song.
Never
I wanted it to play.
That's a good point.
There has to be something way bigger for me to ever make a bet that involves me singing for the first time on this show.
I agree.
Not that Cody loses a hot dog derby race. That's not
something
enough.
There's no
not enough
over,
here.
Yes.
But you've got evidence to support that I'm like plus 400 to win tonight.
Gold has no control though. So like if Gold was in the race, then yes, I think that's a fair bet. But the fact that Alex isn't racing, I don't know if he should. I don't think he should.
Someone
do
says just if you lose to Bob in particular, like order if you don't have to win, but if you lose to Bob, there's serious consequences.
Oh, so I got to at least finish second for the first time.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
Because I still honestly. Say I finished second the first time. Pete cheated.
Someone says lose to Bob, no songs for a month.
If you finish dead last, if you finish third, no songs for a month. I think that's fair.
A month?
Now
I think
the
it's
Royals
fair.
Does it get me back by the postseason?
That would still get you for the postseason.
I think that's enough. To really make you sweat
I don't
it
give
out a little
Drew won't like this,
song.
But since Drew is for whatever reason,
I'm not doing a song in a Scottish accent.
Negotiating on Cody's behalf in the segment, someone says if Cody wins, Drew does a song in a Scottish
Hang
accent.
Hang on a second. I am already wagering a tattoo. Okay, no,
yeah, he does have a tattoo on the line.
I do not. There is nothing else that I need to put on the line right now.
All right. Here's my revised terms. You can tell me if you accept. If I lose, no new songs for a month. But the other one still gets to play today.
Today.
Because it's...
I still want that song played because we're the fan and it's fan night at the K.
I think that's fair.
It's fan night at the K. The song plays in the 1 o'clock hour. But if I lose to Bob, I will not do a song...
Lose to Bob or lose the race?
Well, I guess I was thinking lose to Bob, but what...
Lose
we can
race.
Discuss that. If I lose the race, I will not make a new song for this show for a month.
If there's if you want to add a layer,
but you can
to
play
this,
it in 1 o'clock hour.
But in the 1 o'clock hour, I get to play the fan song.
Deal.
Okay.
All right, we're in agreement.
That's a deal.
Okay.
All right. Don't lose tonight.
For a month.
Don't lose tonight.
Do I need to write this down so we?
No, we have audio.
We're men of our word.
We're good. All right. Don't lose to Nate or Bob tonight.
I gotta race hard.
So that means if you finish dead last, it doesn't matter if you lose to Bob.
No,
so,
it's just more embarrassing.
Well, so if you lose to Nate
we gotta figure it out. If he loses
song. Yeah. I cannot make a new song for this show for 1 month.
Period. There it is. Okay. Yeah. All right. Up next, let's talk more about the Chiefs and the player that flashed on Saturday, and I think gave us even more confidence about what this season can be.
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Or rather, Carson Wentz on third down and 7. Lots of pass open in the end zone, near side. Touchdown, Kansas City. Welcome to the Chiefs kingdom. Xavier Worthy tasting the sweet nectar of the end zone. Get used to it, brother. A 22-yard catch on a corner route, perfectly thrown by Carson Wentz.
Mitch Holthus on the call, 96.5 The Fan on Saturday. One of, what, three catches in one quarter, I guess four catches, but three catches in one quarter that Xavier Worthy had, plus the touchdown you just heard there from Carson Wentz, a type of showing everybody was hoping to see at some point this preseason for Xavier Worthy, and I think for him individually, some confidence for the first bit of success, even if it's preseason football, that, hey, the work you're putting in, basically, right, hey, it's paying off, and this is what you can do in this league. And build on that confidence so that when he's going up against number one corners and safeties, he's able to do it. Because what I thought the best part of that entire sequence, whether it was the touchdown catch or some of the catches in the first quarter, he was winning one-on-one battles. And last year, that was rare for most of the wide receivers in that room. One-on-one battles. Who could win one-on-one? How many times did we mention that a year ago? It was an issue. Worthy can win one-on-one battles, and he showed it on Saturday.
So the touchdown, he got wide open behind the defense on that. That was just kind of like a layup throw. Yeah. The more impressive route was it was third down. Mahomes is in at quarterback. It's third and long, and he found a soft spot between three defenders. There was a guy in the middle, there was a guy underneath him, and there was a guy above him in the safety. And he just sat in the little spot, looked a lot like Jet Chip Wasp. And I've heard multiple people, Joe Summers, who I was hanging out yesterday, who I think does a little bit of like the film stuff, but also like I went back and watched it. It just kind of looks like the whole setup is he fades back to drop the one in the bucket. And so they used Worthy in that Tyreek role. All four passes were four different routes. They were at different depths and lengths. This was the kind of preseason game that can make me revise my season expectations of Worthy. I always thought he was going to matter some. Like, he's a first-round pick at wide receiver. Teams don't very often just not throw to those guys at all. It's rare when it's just like Quentin Johnson or, I don't know, Jonathan Bolt, whatever. I can go through the history of the NFL. There are guys who just do not show up as year-one wide receivers. But that's not been the vibe with Worthy. It's just how big of a role he can have. Well, no Hollywood Brown. He's the big deep guy. His role is unmatched with anyone else on the roster right now. And because of that, I think he's going to get a lot of looks in the offense early because it's one thing for them to look their way in training camp. He looked his way a lot in an actual game, even if it's preseason.
It was, but I mean, the theme of camp and preseason when Mahomes has been out there is they're throwing to Xavier Worthy. They tried to do that a week ago on that first play, and the Jags were ready for it, and that's ultimately what resulted in a pass to Hollywood Brown and, unfortunately, the injury. But yes, the deep threats on this team are Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. And Xavier Worthy is going to get a crack at this thing in week one and maybe week two before Brown is even back. Hopefully it's by week three they get both available, because can you imagine having both? That's what's exciting. And I think Hollywood Brown's going to turn out to be more of not only a deep threat, but just a really good route runner and possession receiver on top of it. Whereas Xavier Worthy, we'll see, can he develop from as time goes on this season and long-term in his career from just being the deep threat, or can he do what we just said, settle in the soft spot of his zone, win one-on-one battles? That's how he becomes the
star. That's how he gets to do all the time.
You know, like the star receiver, not just a really good receiver in this league, like a star receiver. That's where the ceiling is at if he gets to that level. But we saw the taste that we all wanted of the success and why everybody's excited about his skill set and his talent, why the Chiefs traded up with Buffalo to get Worthy. So we'll see. You know, the yardage total, 750 and a half. That is still tough.
Are you ready to say it's 4,000-yard receivers in this offense yet?
No, that's a steep number for me still. Last week, we had the conversation that all of a sudden Worthy has the fifth or sixth best odds to win Rookie of the Year. I still think that's just go ahead and donate your money to me on that one, please. He's not a quarterback. That's the biggest issue more than anything else for why a wide receiver can't win. We went through the Puka Nacua season a year ago, and that was historically great, and he couldn't win it. So I wouldn't put my money there, but there'll be some opportunities. Like week one, I'll be fascinated to know what's the week one betting line over under 40 and a half receiving yards for Worthy week one. If that is the number, and I don't know if it will, I know Drew's put his entire paycheck on the over based on our earlier conversation, I think. And I think a lot of other people will be betting the over for that because people were pumped up after what we saw Saturday.
It's really important that this work.
My entire paycheck. I said he should be. I didn't say he will be.
Well, you would bet your check if you were in charge. The reason why this is important is, so we talk all the time about contracts and rookie contracts and why, you know, they're loading up for Caleb Williams and should do the same for Bryce Young, and why the Bengals and the Chargers and all these other teams missed out on their window of opportunity. The next best thing, if this works, the next best thing you can do after all the quarterbacks in the AFC are going to be paid eventually, by the way, because all the best quarterbacks are in the AFC, and a huge chunk of them are already paid or are about to be paid. Burrow, Allen, Mahomes, Tua, they're all on the path. Stroud is the last damn cheap good one left in the league. Lawrence got paid. Doesn't matter. The reason why this is important is the next best thing in the AFC will be quarterback being paid a lot, star wide receiver on a rookie damn deal. So if you can just get it right once, and you have a star-level wide receiver, which is still the ceiling for Xavier Worthy. We don't know which way it'll go. If you get a star wide receiver on a nothing deal, rather than paying him $33 million a year, whatever the hell Tyreek Hill makes, well then, fantastic. That's almost as good as not having having a quarterback on a rookie deal, especially if you have Patrick Mahomes. They're going to have to keep taking first-round wide receivers because this is the way to live if you're the Chiefs.
Well, I would think no matter what happens with Worthy, next year, either first or second round, they'll also go wide receiver again. I think you just look at the numbers because, you know, Hollywood Brown likely, depending on his injury status, you know, potentially not back next year. And so you look at the wide receiver room, then at that point, they probably would spend another fairly high pick on a wide receiver. But you're right. I mean, if you want to extend out the window, this dynasty that they're currently in, how have they done it? Not at the skill position players as much, but they've done it at other areas where they've hit on big time draft picks that have turned out to be top tier players, Trent McDuffie and Creed Humphrey, among others. You know, they've hit on undrafted guys, not having to pay a running back a lot of money. Isaiah Pacheco, undrafted, but he's been a top 15 back in football. If Kingsley Suamataia turns out to be a top-end tackle long-term, they'll be paying him very little money for 4 or 5 years. I mean, this is how you continue to extend it out while still taking care of Mahomes and paying Chris Jones for the next couple of years. That's what they'll have to do if you want this true dynasty to extend another 4 or 5 years, which would be incredible. It's hitting on picks like this, and I will gladly be wrong at the end of the season if Worthy has way more than 750 yards.
Yeah, I won't feel bad.
I just think that is still a pretty high number. He could have a great rookie year and not get 750. Because I think touchdowns, like we just heard the call of one, touchdowns
and the long game-changing touchdowns.
Touchdowns can be where he has a huge impact. That's why I was excited about the punt return game, and now we know he's really not going to do that with the Hollywood Brown injury. That's going to be more Mecole Hardman's role going forward.
The big thing for me isn't even like a statistical perspective. It's more of a, I think that he, based on what he's shown, him being a first-round pick, all of the things that go into that, he provides more to the offense even now than what Justin Watson can. And Justin Watson can still get run, and he's still that reliable guy. But in terms of being a weapon on offense, I think they can be even – they're more dangerous even now with Xavier Worthy as wide receiver three. And whether he still put only – whether he only puts up 400 yards in that, it's fine. I it doesn't matter to me. I think that he just – you're putting your best foot forward as an offense with Xavier Worthy on the field more than Justin Watson.
Well, I don't think anybody's trying to say that. Of course they're more explosive and high-powered with Xavier Worthy on the field because of the deep threat we just talked. That's not the argument for like why the Chiefs potentially will once again have Justin Watson at least week one get more snaps than Worthy. I don't think the Chiefs are arguing that Worthy isn't the more explosive. Everybody knows he's the more explosive player.
Sure.
But it's not just about that.
It never is for them.
In our guillotine fantasy football draft, yes, you are correct. Xavier Worthy is far more valuable than Justin Watson would ever be. But sure, that's not the reality week one for the team. I think Worthy will eventually get to the point where he's out-snapping Justin Watson, etc. In week one, though, I think we heard Andy Reid was asked about it. What was that, a half hour, 45 minutes ago, I guess, at this point in time. And like they mentioned how vital he was on third down. Yep. Worthy, nobody's saying he can't be that. I just think week one, they still go into that game knowing on a third down conversion who's going to be in the right spot and catch the football. They are more confident week one that Justin Watson could be that. And I don't think that's a bad thing either.
Yeah, but to that point, put him in reliable situations where if it's first and 10 and you got the ball at the 40-yard line, Xavier Worthy should be in the game.
And I'm sure
over Justin
Watson. He's going to play. I mean, he's going to play.
No receiver. So here's where I think you're overly worried, Drew, where you don't need to be, is that the usage when they had receiver injuries last year was not Justin Watson plays 99% of the snaps like Rashee Rice. It was Watson plays 60%. A bunch of other dudes play 40%. So there will be snaps when Justin Watson's on the field over Xavier Worthy, but there will definitely be snaps when it is the other way around. And the Chiefs, like it or not, we could do a 10 commandments if you wanted to of things that you should not talk about with the Chiefs because you're trying to change what is written in stone. If you want to come on a radio show, do a podcast, be a fan with your buddy at the bar, and you want to complain about the Chiefs forgetting about the running game, you're wasting your time. They forget about it all the time and have been for a decade. If you want them to play a more athletic, less know-where-they-are player over the savvy veteran, bad news. That's been happening. It's a tale as old as time. In the Chiefs, there's a few things that you just know as fact with the Kansas, and you got to like work around. That means Xavier Worthy won't get any time.
The argument against it is, well, it shouldn't matter because they won the Super Bowl without that level guy.
That's the easy argument.
Like me saying what I'm saying is never going to win because you can easily turn around and say, well, they won the Super Bowl last year with guys who aren't even maybe not even make a roster this year. I get it. I'm just saying from my point of view, I think that it makes more sense to have him be the wide receiver three. And I know that.
And I think he will be, eventually.
Yeah, he can be. Justin Watson is, right now, I would agree, is the more reliable guy. Does that mean he should get more snaps? I don't think so. In situations where you need you need a third and five to extend the game. You need a third and five to clinch it. Justin Watson should be in the game. But in totality, I just think Xavier Worthy should get the higher percentage of
at the end of the year, I think he will.
Yeah, I think that is going to happen as they progress. Also, I think by the end of the year, if Worthy can prove that he is more than just a deep threat, then that's also how he gets on the field on third and five more and runs the intermediate type of routes versus just the deep routes.
Yeah.
We're going to see a play out. Here was week one, just to look back and how our minds were set last year, week one, snap counts, week one, wide receivers. Rashee Rice had 31% of the snaps last year in week one. MVS had 63%. Sky Moore had 69%.
Wow, that's crazy.
Justin Watson had 29%. And Kadarius Toney, 25%. Richie James, 35%. That's why
Richie
we're saying
James
like,
got 35% of the week one snaps?
And so that's why like I don't think you're going to have to worry about like Watson is going to be on the field plenty. Worthy will be on the field plenty. Think about the percentage of snaps. Like this year, Rashee Rice week one is going to get 70. Yeah, like 70% of the week one snaps. After that, Justin Watson could get like 38. And then we tell you that Worthy got 30 or 28. And that's like, you're not, you know, if Justin Ross got 9% of the snaps week one last year.
Yeah.
If Richie James got 35%, I don't think you have anything to worry about in terms of, is Worthy going to be on the field enough in week one? He'll get his opportunities. That is not something that I think we should be panicking about.
No. The text line, by the way, says, what are you talking about? They didn't run the ball last year. They would have been terrible.
Cody's saying they passed the seventh most. Yeah.
They don't run. And he's saying if they didn't run the ball last year, they would have been terrible. They still didn't run the ball very much last year. They passed the seventh most, and the six teams ahead of them stunk. Bad teams. Bad teams who have to throw a lot because they're down.
Yeah, Pacheco is really, really good, but compared to other teams, they still did not run the ball.
Yes, they forget. It's not even a knock. I don't care anymore. There'll be some game this year that the Chiefs, like, it'll be like the one of the three games they lose the entire year, and you'll be like, wait a second. The score was 20-17, and they only gave Isaiah Pacheco 11 carries? What the hell happened in this game? And it'll be because Andy threw it 45 times, and you'll be like, that doesn't make any sense. The score was close. Why? And I'm like, I don't care, because it's something they just fundamentally do. That's just going back to the whole thing. And you're right, Gold. Maybe we're wrong, but this time it seems like it's for the better. They're going to spread the ball around, and people are going to play a lot of different snaps. For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965, or you can hit us up on the chat, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. As we transition the text line, that might be easier to get through to the show at the moment. Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. I'll keep an eye on those chats as well. But the question I have for you today is in honor of Dairon Blanco, who had two home runs and a grand slam, and then another home run on Sunday, hitting with that yellow crayon bat. That was, I don't know, I'm assuming it's going to be the most fun weekend of his entire baseball career. Players weekend and the man shined. I'll explain why this is the question in a moment, but the random question I have for you today is, what is the one family story that ends up getting told multiple times to new groups spread through time? Ours is a story called the White Crayon Story. So you're like, that doesn't make any sense. We're kids, little kids, everyone's in the house, and there's still no explanation for this, and my dad can't explain it either. We were sneaking snacks. Kids do that, right? So late at night, pitter-patter of little kids going to the kitchen to try to figure out in the snack cabinet where they might be able to get, you know, a Little Debbie or whatnot. Only to the surprise, boom, dad, sitting at the kitchen table. So you're already busted. You're like, oh no, what's happening? He then says, what are you doing? And to which the response was, because it was around Easter, one of the kids tries to cover their ass. They say, you know what? We were looking for the white crayon for the eggs. He then produces it behind his back. This white crayon? There's no reason for him to have said it. And then it just goes down in lore. No explanation for why he would have it, why he would produce it, why they would even give that as the excuse,
that's awesome.
Seeing how that wasn't the original response. So the white crayon story is one that is told many times in the Tap family. And I figured in honor of Dairon Blanco and his yellow crayon, I would say, what is the story that is consistently told in your family?
Yeah, so I don't have anything quite like that. Mine is just more, it's more of an annoying one that'll just always be told. Anytime something about Starlight Theater gets brought up or anything, I always have to hear about when I was a kid. I don't know how old I was at the time. I don't know, maybe 9. Remember the Tamagotchis?
Yeah.
Like the little hand, Drew, I don't know if you remember them.
My daughter has a Tamagotchi.
Tamagotchis are back.
But back then they were just, you know, grayscale.
That's still pretty much hers is color, but it's not like
the story
good
was
graphics.
That the whole family was at a show at Starlight, and I would not stop playing with the Tamagotchi, and you know, those make noise. You know, like they hatch and they make noise. And basically, I would not turn off the sound of the Tamagotchi. I wouldn't stop playing it. I guess it was a whole scene, and we had to leave. Like 5-10 minutes after we bought tickets to the, I don't remember what musical or whatever it was.
Dang.
But that story I hear all the time. That's not like the same.
So anytime someone mentions Starlight, your family's like, here we go. Remember when Alex got it?
Every single time.
Okay. That's really funny. I like that. He's giving you a hard time.
Yeah.
One of your sisters doesn't have a similar one? You know, somebody else doesn't catch some flack in the Gold household?
That one gets told all the time. Anytime Starlight comes up, it's bound to be mentioned.
What about you, Drew? You guys got a family story that gets told? It's always like there's like one new person in the story. Me, it's that or me getting knocked out with a water balloon.
I've heard that one a lot.
I don't know if it's like a family story. There's a lot of them. I don't know if there's one that consistently goes around, but anytime that if there's somebody new and my mom is like talking about like, oh, do you have any kids? Yada, yada, yada. She'll always tell a story for me that the reason that I'm in radio is when I was younger, we used to do like performances, like plays or whatever. And I was at the mic, and the mic the stand was a little bit loose and the mic starts lowering and lowering. In my head, I keep following it down and down and down and down. And I'm like almost like laying on the ground while I'm still, I didn't just hold the mic up myself. I just followed
what
it all.
What play or musical was this? Is this like a school thing or were you in like...
Church, actually. Okay, I could not tell you what the play was, but that's I was reciting my line or whatever, and the mic just starts falling. And I just follow the mic rather than hold it. I proceed to follow the mic. Yes,
which would be the that yeah. That's the wrong way to go about it, I think.
Yes, and it was the funnier way though to go about it, mm-hmm. which is why the story always gets told.
There's a number. I mean, we had seven kids. So, I mean, there's
a lot
quite
of stories,
a few of the like childhood. It's always just like. Like when we made homemade zip lines or, you know, it's always some nonsense like that. When we almost died or got hurt or it's those are the ones that get retold in the Tap family, I think, more than any others. But that white crayon one's lived because there's still no explanation for why you would have
it. That's bizarre.
Why did you have like that was a really weird excuse
it's
to
like
give
a magician
at
sort of
the
thing.
Moment.
Yeah. This someone surprised Drew didn't mention. Remember that time when someone stole our spot on the beach?
that might be the story they tell moving forward.
I was going to say that might be the story. When we go to the beach next year, it'll be. You remember when that guy? Remember when he stole our spot?
We've had like family vacations will produce that. I mean, my very long time. I mean, I must have been like 7 years old. Way, way long ago, we took a family vacation to Destin, Florida, with my grandparents as well, and we got all in the van and we drove down there. And the funny story from that like was this was back like the old video cameras. I'm talking about like the big video cameras, and so the video camera would be on. And it has like a white light, you know, like the flash, but like the light's on the whole time. And my grandpa throughout the entire trip would be like, the light is on. It became like a joke, a running joke the whole time. And even to this day, sometimes people would
just say it. Yeah.
Yes. And so there's stuff like that. Everybody, nice. Every family has some moments like that, I guess.
The inside joke of the family that is hard to explain to somebody who is entering the group. You're like, I don't understand what this joke is. It's like, it's our joke. It's not important to you. If I'm around any single one of my siblings or aunt and I say white crayon, people would know immediately what I'm talking about, and it doesn't mean something to anyone else. It only means something to us. That's it. In honor of Dairon Blancos, hell of a weekend. What a fun
all-time weekend. Players weekend's cool anyway. Vinny had the Wayside Waves bat for the great organization, the no-kill shelter here.
Pablo Sanchez bat that he proceeded to hit a home run with.
He did, and it was great. Did you guys see there's rumblings?
Vinny won with his Pasquatch one, too.
There's some rumblings and rumors that they might be bringing backyard baseball. For those that know, the video game series that was on PC, and they had backyard soccer and baseball and football or whatever. I love playing the backyard soccer series, as I'm sure all of us did. But yeah, Pablo Sanchez, just an all-time classic video game character. And shout out to Bobby for that. I think there's a real chance in the next year or two we see backyard baseball back on a video game.
I think if you start showing like the best player in baseball hit with a bat with that, and I would have thought he was too young to even know that.
Same, yeah. Because that game,
like, how do you know backyard baseball? That hasn't been around forever.
They brought it back briefly on like I don't know GameCube or something for maybe a year or two. But I always played it on PC, and it was fun. Like backyard soccer is the one I played more, but the announcers were hilarious. And then like the players represented were from all like ethnicities and all like it was just a cool game.
It was a good game.
Okay, so classic. Bobby Witt is 24. I'm 28, and not too far beyond me. And I played that game all the time.
Okay.
Growing up, so I feel like maybe there. I don't know.
Backyard Baseball was first released in 1997. The last release was 2015.
I think Bobby would be one of the players selected because who was on there? Barry Bonds was on there. Sammy Sosa was in there. Mark McGwire was in there. I can't remember any of the other ones. There was somebody from the Oakland A's that was in there. That might have been McGwire, actually, when he was
with
the A's.
I thought it was Ricky Henderson was on that.
Henderson might have been in there, too.
Yeah, I might have been in.
There, I found like one of these on some website. You could actually play the old version right now. That's kind of cool on PC. It literally is loading right now.
Text on you're wrong, by the way. Someone says it was not a crayon, guys. It was a yellow pencil. That was a different person's bat. Dairon Blanco.
Yeah, his was yellow.
His was a crayon. Yeah, for sure.
He had different 100%. Versions. He had three different,
green
versions
and
of crayons, right?
Purple.
He kept with the yellow one for obvious reasons.
I can't blame him. He should hit with that thing as long as they'll let him. If they'll let him keep hitting with it, even if at the risk of shattering it so you don't get to keep the cool bat, keep hitting with it until you stop hitting home runs. Man had 24 career RBI going into the weekend and had 7 in a single game this weekend. So, yeah, that's probably my bat forever now.
Yeah, everything just came together for him in one particular weekend. All right, guys, coming up next, we get to the 1 o'clock hour here on 96.5. the Fan. We'll get back into the Royals in particular, where they are positioned from 2014 to now and why there's a strong case that this team is better.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.